Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I'm so glad that you have joined me once again. I understand very well that you could spend this time doing anything else, but you've made the decision to join us here on the Hamilton Corner, so I am greatly appreciative, and I hope that the time we share together today would be edifying, would be encouraging, would be sharpening and informative as you go about your daily lives. Most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs. I just want to remind you that when you do so, that the first ministry each and every one of us are called to is to the ministry of our families. All too often, we sacrifice our families on the altar of external faithfulness. We want to, you know, burn the candle at both ends. We want to make more money externally. We want to have more ministry, more visibility, and all of these things. And I would encourage you to refocus that. You know, the Lord doesn't evaluate us the way that the world does. Unfortunately, there's been an internalization of a worldly corporatist mindset, even amongst the body of Christ, where we think that bigger is always better, more is always major. And that is not the case. That is not the case. I want to encourage you to refocus on family. And one of the things that the Lord encountered me with a long time ago was that within the family, the Lord has provided to us an internal mechanism for the execution of the Great Commission. It isn't to be our exclusive engagement in executing the Great Commission, but we certainly don't want to sacrifice family in an effort to win the world. One of the things that I found that is a recurring theme amongst many older followers of Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things I like to do, and I learned this at a young age, is I like to hang around seasoned saints. You know, I like to glean from people who have been where I'm trying to get to, you know what I mean? And I consistently find that one of the things that a lot of the older men in the faith have said to me is that if they had to go back, if they had the opportunity to do it all over again, they would spend more time at home. They would invest more in discipling their children. They would spend more time cultivating their spouse, their wives, you know. And man, that has resonated with me, and that's part of the reason why I try to offer this reminder pretty much on a daily basis that your part-time job is what you do outside of your home, generating income and all of those things, but your full-time job is what you do inside of your family. So please, we certainly want to serve well externally outside of our homes, but certainly we don't want to neglect what goes on inside of our homes. All right, we are also still in the posture where we are collecting listener testimonies. So if this program has been a blessing to you, if the American Family Radio Network, the Urban Family Talk Network has been a blessing to you, we'd like to hear from you. We welcome you to call 877-876-8893. That number again is 877-876-8893, where you will provide your testimony. It will be the equivalent of a voice message. Our creative team will get that voice message, produce it, and it will be a part of our Fall Share-a-thon, October 16th, 17th and 18th. There's still room for you to call. And who knows, if you call, you may very well hear yourself on the radio during this Fall Share-a-thon. So we certainly invite you to do that. All right. Having said that, I want to turn our attention today. This is something that the Lord just kind of steered me to today, to revisit the Ten Commandments. More specifically, we're going to take some time in the ninth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 is where we're going. By way of reminder, if you're not aware, because this is a question I get often, you know, Abraham, where is the reconciliation between the law in the Old Testament and the new covenant? Aren't we under the covenant of grace? Absolutely we are. And here's how it breaks down. When we talk about the law in the old covenant, the Old Testament, the law really is divided into three categories. You have the moral law, which is reflected in the Ten Commandments, which Jesus ultimately summarizes in Matthew chapter 22. Well, the moral law is what continues. In John 3, for example, when Jesus says, for them who do not believe, they are condemned already. The basis of that condemnation is the moral law as reflected in the Ten Commandments. Well, the other two categories include the ceremonial law, which no longer applies to us in this new covenant era. Why? Because Jesus is the sacrifice once and for all. He is the eternal lamb, the federal source of atonement, the one who is the once and for all sacrifice. So the ceremonial law is not that it is done away with, but it has been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the third category would be the Israelite civil law. The civil law that the nation of Israel was subjected to applies to the nation state of Israel, the biblical Israel. So because, I don't know about you, but I don't live in the biblical nation state of Old Testament Israel, the civil law of Old Testament Israel no longer applies as well. So we want to have that understood. When Jesus says, in the scripture says, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment, the embodiment of the requirements of the ceremonial law provided in the Old Testament. But the moral law continues on in this church age. And the Ten Commandments, which the ninth commandment that we're dealing with today, comes within the ambit, falls within the ambit of the moral law, which is still in application today, which is still that if we tried in our own strength to fulfill the requisites of the moral law, we would fall flat on our faces in failure. But thank God for Jesus. I remember I used to hear the seasoned saints as I say, "Ooh, thank God for Jesus." And I couldn't understand that as a child. But oh, I understand it now. We have not a high priest who cannot be felt by the feeling of our infirmity, but in every way was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And because of the spotless lamb, boy, I feel myself getting happy. Because of the spotless lamb, it is not that we have to achieve anything to become the beneficiaries of salvation, but by grace through faith, we become the recipients. We become the benefactors of that dual imputation where the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us. Oh, glory. And our sinfulness with the commensurate deserving of a hell as punishment is imputed to the Christ. And by that dual imputation, we take refuge under the rock that is higher than we are. And in that, oh, I am so excited and so I glory in that. Now, turning to Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. This is something that I believe that our culture is running 150 million miles an hour away from. And I say this rather frequently. When we abandon God's way, we suffer the consequences. So many times you have people that want the results of God's way, but they want to sidestep God. Well, I'm going to just tell you plain and simple. You can't get the results of God's way by sidestepping the Lord. And in our culture, this ninth commandment is something that is becoming basically cultural chop suey. That it's almost as if we live by a take it or leave it approach. And I'm going to read it here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And it says this. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I'm going to read it again. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If you understand this commandment, you'll find that it is not just a mere or a simple prohibition of lying, but the commandment certainly prohibits lying, but the commandment is placed within a context where it presumes some form of trial process, some form of legal process. It literally is the foundation for the American prohibition of perjury, very similar to the way I described before, that among the rules of evidence and the federal rules of evidence and the rules of evidence of all the states of the American Union that allow dying declarations to be admissible in spite of the hearsay prohibition on statements offered out of court for the truth of the matter asserted. Well, dying declarations are admitted because the presumption in American law is that we understand it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. And so the presumption there is not too many people that know that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. They're going to be trying to lie on their way out. So dying declarations are admissible in court. Well, similarly, the prohibition of false witnessing, bearing false witness, is what underscores the American legal concept of the prohibition of perjury. It's also when you have a witness on the stand that you normally are not allowed to raise bad acts against a particular character witness. One of the exceptions there are crimes of moral turpitude that show if you have criminal offenses and other things that give an indication that the person on the stand is not a truth teller, then the jury or the trier of fact needs to know that information. Well, having said that, and remember, this ninth commandment is a part of the moral law, which still continue to today. Inherent to this prohibition on false witnessing. I'm going to read it again. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Right on the plain black letter of the law, the bearing false witness requires the witness to be in consideration of the neighbor as well as himself. But having said that, there is an implication, my goodness, there is an implication in the ninth commandment that says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, that it implies that people have a duty not to lie or to defame their neighbors. This is a duty that is not imposed by man. This is not a duty that is the product of civil government. This is a duty that is divinely mandated by the Lord, which also has a corollary implication. There's a duty not to lie or to defame our neighbors. There's a corollary duty that says that there is an inherent right not to be lied to or defamed. So what I'm driving at here is that based on the understanding of the moral law, the prohibition on bearing false witnessing is based upon an inherent divine bequest of a right to live free of being lied on, to live free of being defamed. Now, why is this so important? And of course, the background for this is what's happening in popular conversation with Judge Kavanaugh, all these things that are happening. But why is this so important? Who does the Bible tell us is the father of lies? Who does the Bible tell us is the father of lies? In addition to who does the Bible tell us is the father of lies, who does the Bible tell us is the accuser of the brethren? Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, when we individually allow lies to persist, either lies that we tell or lies that are being told, we are making an alliance with the author of lies. Do you hear what I'm telling you? When we allow lies to prevail within our interpersonal interactions, as well as in our cultural interactions, we are aligning ourselves with the accuser of the brethren. So when I make a statement, when I say, for those who listen to the program, you know this to be factual, that I wasn't a fan. I was not excited when President Trump announced Brett Kavanaugh as a nominee for the Supreme Court. You listen to the program, you know that. I said that. I gave my reasonings for that. But at the same time, I don't want to live in a nation where the cloud of defamation, you get what I'm saying? And I don't mean defamation in legal sense, but I mean defamation in the sense of bearing of a false witness. The cloud of defamation is allowed to persist that would interrupt and derail a man's entire career. I say it all the time. If somebody committed a crime, somebody told a lie, brother and sister, they got to face the music. This is why I had no defense for Paul Manafort. Who cares? Well, I won't say who cares. It's true that Paul Manafort got caught up in the legal crosshairs because of his connection to Donald Trump and because of the resist movement wanted to attack Donald Trump. But guess what? If he did it, he did it. If he did it, he did it. But I don't want to live in a nation to where the mere accusation is enough to convict someone. Primarily, not because I'm concerned about, you know, R's versus D's, elephants versus donkeys. By the way, I don't trust in elephants or donkeys. I trust in the lamb. Oh. It's not about elephants and donkeys. It's about cultivating an environment socially, politically, everything around us where we allow falsehood to persist. And that falsehood is not limited to a declaration of information that is not true, but it includes defamatory information. Do we have enough evidence to sustain this allegation? If not, there is a duty that is divinely bequeathed, deposited upon us to refrain from bearing false witness. There is an inherent duty that is given to us. We know the Declaration says we have these inalienable rights. Included in those inalienable rights that come from God is to be protected, or to say it differently, we have a right not to be lied on or to be defamed. So my encouragement to you, especially those brothers and sisters who are members of the body of Christ, don't allow falsehood to persist in your social sphere.
The treasonous actions of the left. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Senator Marco Rubio is the first to send a letter to Attorney General Jeff Sessions asking that he investigate John Kerry for violating the Logan Act. The Logan Act prohibits unauthorized personnel to negotiate with a foreign government in relation to any disputes with the United States. Kerry met with foreign leaders when he was a private citizen and discussed future American policy with Iran's foreign minister. He was actively undermining U.S. policy by these meetings since leaving office. A U.S. citizen who is trying to reverse the U.S. government's efforts in a foreign government without the authority of the government is acting illegally. John Kerry is one of those which originally crafted the Iran deal and is highly motivated to see it stay in place. Senator Rubio is wondering if he committed treason. Stay informed and visit Liberty Counsel's website. Ask God how he can use you to make an internal difference. LC.org. That's LC.org.
I just wanted to thank all the supporters who helped make this ministry possible. You'll never know the ripple effect that you have for the kingdom of God. I listened to AFR for many years now, traveling back and forth, and it continually has been a tool that God has given me to put my mind in the right frame before going to work, praise and worship. And it amazes me every time God always has a song to fit what I'm going through. And it's almost like my own private worship service in the car.
We're grateful to hear story after story of how God is using this ministry. Would you help support this life-changing effort? Join us for our three-day share-a-thon starting Tuesday, October 16th on listener-supported American Family Radio.
I just thank you guys for doing the ministry that you're doing, and I encourage anyone that if you haven't ever supported this ministry, please do. Thank you, and God bless.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. A study done in 2002 at the request of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops indicated that 80% of the abuse cases in the Catholic Church involve male-on-male predation, a clear indication of the connection between homosexuality and pedophilia. Leading Catholic voices are determined to do something about it. The Catholic Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin, said Saturday it is time to admit there is a homosexual subculture within the hierarchy of the Catholic Church that is wreaking great devastation in the vineyard of the Lord. Conservative Catholic Michael Hitchborn says there must be a, quote, complete and thorough removal of all homosexual clergymen from the church, end quote, even if it results in a severe priest shortage. May God guide such leaders as they seek to clean up their vineyard.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Brothers and sisters, the reason why the entirety of the moral law, in particular the ninth commandment that we're focusing on today, is so critically important is because the Lord, in conveying to us his moral law, is really revealing his character. Truth-telling is so necessary and is used as a fundamental rubric to sustain a society because it coincides, it's a reflection with the character of God. You know, in our day, it's very popular to discuss, oh, we love brother, love one another. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that love rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. The reason why that is so is because truth reflects God's character. So when we allow falsehood to persist in our individual lives, when we allow falsehood to persist in our political lives, when we allow falsehood to persist in our social interactions, in our cultural interactions, we're aligning our culture with the Father of lies. You know, remember Jesus rebuked the Pharisees? And they were basically asking, man, these guys are liars. He said, man, they're of their father, the devil, who's been lying from the beginning. We need to recapture truth-telling, not as merely a simple moral positive, but understanding the divine impetus for truth-telling, which would require a correspondent aversion for falsehood. All right, moving on. I got some good news to share. My friends in Louisiana sent this note to me. just before I came on the air today, I mentioned, I know you all know that the drag queen story hour things are happening all over the country. It's a product of a coordinated effort to transgenderize our culture, in my opinion. And they're doing so, their goal is to do so by shaping and molding the minds and hearts of our young people. They don't care about, you know, those of us who are beyond adolescent moldability. They're attempting to take what we recognize as being objectionable to make it a reality for our children. Where in Louisiana, in Lafayette, Louisiana, remember what I presented this story to you, had Gene Mills, president of the Louisiana Family Forum, on the program to discuss Drag Queen Story Hour coming to Lafayette, Louisiana. It was an event that was initially billed as taking place at the public library, the main public library in Lafayette. Well, I'm happy to report. Well, let me say this. As a result of bringing some light to that, there was such an outcry of resistance to it that they initially removed the event from the public library and tried to then have the event at a local community college in Lafayette, Louisiana. Well, guess what? The resistance to this event didn't stop there. As a result of the continued outcry by people in that area who said that, no, sir, we don't want this to happen. If we, you know, if you want to read to the children, that's no problem. Nobody has an objection to you reading to children, but why do you want to show up in full drag regalia, which you all know the answer to the question? There is no story time hour without the drag component. They're not interested in introducing children to literature. They want to introduce children to an agenda. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Well, I'm happy to report that's to date. And as I get more updates, I'll bring this to you. To date, even the attempts to relocate this event to the local community college has now been shut down. Shut down. They had a local meeting at the local parish city council, and the body of Christ showed up. Showed up. I say it all the time. Darkness is not an affirmative force. It merely reoccupies the space that's vacated by the light. But what happens when the light is turned on? Darkness has no choice but to dissipate. So I just wanted to offer that to you and celebrate the fact that the body of Christ in Lafayette showed up, and so far, that story hour has been shut down. So that is good news, encouraging news that I wanted to share with you. And more news. Late last night, Senator Mitch McConnell filed what's called a cloture motion, which basically is a procedural motion to allow the full Senate to proceed to vote on Kavanaugh's nomination. Now, why that is important is that I am very confident in that Mitch McConnell would not have filed the cloture motion last night unless he believed he had the votes to have Judge Kavanaugh confirmed on the Senate floor. So that is an indication, in my opinion, that Mitch McConnell believes that there are enough affirmative votes to have Brett Kavanaugh confirmed. So based on the timing of the filing of the cloture motion, the vote can be as early as Friday after 1 p.m. and most likely will take place during the weekend. So what I've been told, that the vote is expected to happen either Friday evening or Saturday at some point on Saturday. So that is an update for you just on procedural machinations of the United States Senate. And to that end, there's a report, there's a story here, if you recall, that the additional, and they're calling it an FBI investigation, but the reality is what Jeff Flake called for was an expansion of the FBI background check process for Brett Kavanaugh, all right? And two Republican senators have indicated that they are pleased with the results of that report. I guess let me say that. So the report was finished Tuesday and made available to the United States senators on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, U.S. senators have gone to read the report, and all of the indications are that the report say it this way, it's favorable to Brett Kavanaugh. I'll say it that way. Now, how do I know that? Have I read the report? No, I haven't read the report. But the way that I know it is that you have lots of Democratic senators, tell me if you're surprised by this, saying that the FBI report is insufficient. The process was flawed. You need more time. And of course, I know I'm not the only one, but I told you that when that happened, when the requirement of the FBI report happened, all it was going to do was then set the stage for people to come back and say, ah, but the report wasn't good enough. The report wasn't good enough. And actually, Sarah Huckabee Sanders addressed some of this in her press conference, press briefing today, as the press secretary for the president. If you would, Jay, please play clip number two where Sarah Sanders is talking about this very thing.
The whole world watched as Dr. Ford was interviewed for hours by the individuals that have to make the decision. That's the senators themselves. They had ample opportunity to ask any question they wanted of Dr. Ford. And if they didn't get enough, that was their own fault because they didn't step up to the plate and ask the questions that they needed answers to. The idea somehow that they now need to interview, that the FBI needs to interview her again, is ludicrous.
Now, that followed questions from reporters who were attempting to indicate that the FBI expanded background check now was flawed because they needed to interview Professor Ford again. And Sarah Sanders is saying, wait a minute, guys. Didn't we just create a whole hearing so y'all could ask any question y'all wanted to ask? And by the way, what she didn't say, but I will say, if people wanted to have more time to have whoever you wanted to look into this, can you tell me why Dianne Feinstein held this whole allegation thing for 2 months nearly? I mean, I'm just wondering. So, I mean, the truth is, if there's a lack of information, it's not because of the FBI process or anybody else. It's because, and this is my opinion here, that Dianne Feinstein didn't really believe it. Otherwise, she'd have pulled it out a long time before that. Well, following the production of the report, Senator Jeff Flake, you know, the Flake one from Arizona, Senator, I want to say her name properly, Susan Collins from Maine, they have indicated that they are pleased with the report. Meaning that they are satisfied with the job that the FBI did in the expanded background check, which gives an indication that, as I said, that those two most likely will vote for Brett Kavanaugh. Joe Manchin, Senator from West Virginia, Democrat incumbent Senator from West Virginia, has indicated that he's leaning toward voting for Brett Kavanaugh. Very interestingly, Heidi Heitkamp, Democrat incumbent Senator in North Dakota, facing a pretty strong challenge from a Republican contender, Mr. Howley, is now down in the polls there by double digits. Pretty interesting. Now, you know that I don't put much stock in polls, but I think that's not good for Ms. Heitkamp there. Joe Donnelly in Indiana indicated he was not going to vote for Brett Kavanaugh, and he has a pretty tight race on his hands in Indiana. Joe Manchin, and these are all states that President Trump won by pretty large margins. And so you're seeing a turn in these Senate races, which we've talked about at length. There are 24 Senate seats available. The majority of, I'm sorry, there are 30, about 33 Senate seats of, that are incumbents are running for re-election in this midterm election. 24 of them are held by Democrats facing incumbent challenges. Of those 24 Democrat seats that are up for re-election in the Senate, about 10 of them are in states that President Trump won. Some of them President Trump won handily by 20, 30, and 40 points in some instances. So the intensity of those races are increasing. And interestingly enough, and I said that this would happen. I guess I predicted it. I mean, I'm not wanting to say I predicted things. But all of a sudden, you have Just as much you have an energized voting base among the Democrat Party, all of a sudden you have a surge in interest in the midterm elections that was not there prior to this Kavanaugh hearing scenario. All of a sudden, across the nation, interest in the midterm elections has hopped up to 80%+ on both Democrat side and Republican side. The Democrats had been at about 70% before, 77% before the Kavanaugh hearing. Now they're up at about 82%. Now the Republicans were at like 56 to 60%. They're at about 81% interest now. I don't know if that was a good strategy to go kind of scorched earth on Judge Kavanaugh, because in the end, it appears so far, and I said before, I think Kavanaugh will be confirmed, that they'll not only lose the confirmation battle, but they most likely appear to end up they may end up losing Senate seats because of this confirmation battle. Have to wait and see, but that's the way it looks right now. That's the way it looks right now. Now, going further, while this is happening, and this is one of those other examples that I've been talking all week about what kind of country do you want going forward, right? What kind of America do you want going forward? Well, as the hearings were taking place, and I've been meaning to get to this. I had this story in my stack the whole time. But as the hearings were taking place, and specifically as Lindsey Graham was providing his impassioned arguments concerning the Kavanaugh hearing process, an individual using a computer on Capitol Hill engaged in what's called doxing Senate Republicans. What that is publishing their home addresses and phone numbers publicly. While the hearings were taking place, investigations now have revealed, and a man has been arrested, and I'll get to that in a moment, that Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator Orrin Hatch, and Senator Mike Lee, all three of which are Republican members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, had their names and home addresses published on Wikipedia pages. An individual using U.S. House of Representatives computer published that information. Folks, this is dangerous stuff. This is dangerous stuff. Publishing their home addresses. Turns out that a suspect has been arrested. A man by the name of Jackson Costco, who was formerly a legislative correspondent for Senator Maggie Hassan, Democrat senator from New Hampshire. He also was a press assistant for former Senator Barbara Boxer from California. And most recently, he was an intern for Democrat Representative Sheila Jackson Lee from the Houston area in Texas. Now, to her credit, she's fired him. She's fired Jackson Costco immediately upon him being arrested for these charges. Good move, Representative Lee. But is this the kind of stuff we want to have happen? To where we already know the Maxine Waters admonition, find them wherever you can find them, huddle around them, you know, all these kind of things. Ted Cruz getting shouted down in restaurants, so we want people showing up at people's homes now? That's what we want? Folks, it's getting crazy. It's getting crazy. Thankfully, Jackson Costco has been arrested, and he's been charged with multiple charges. One, making public restricted personal information. Two, witness tampering. Three, threats in interstate communications. Four, unauthorized access of a government computer. Five, identity theft. Six, second-degree burglary. Seven, unlawful entry. Now, I can tell you as a prosecutor, just because he's charged with all of that doesn't mean that's what he'll ultimately be tried and or convicted on, but it's a step in the right direction to show that this guy's been arrested for this stuff. It's crazy. It's crazy. More news, and I don't know how much I can get into this before the break grabs me. But Donald Trump Jr. made some public comments about his concern about the weaponization of the Me Too movement. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think it's good when people who have been victimized in a sexual manner are empowered to come forward with that testimony. I can tell you that's a very, very hard thing. But at the same time, we should not convict people based on allegations alone. There must be evidence to sustain the allegations. Now, having said that, Donald Trump Jr. came out and expressed his concern for his young sons, that if we move to an environment where the accusation is enough to convict a person, that he expressed concern about that. Well, because they don't miss a beat, Whoopi Goldberg of The View, and I didn't grab this audio because I just, you know, it's some voices, Hillary Clinton's voice, Barack Obama's voice, other voices. I just don't want to hear it, frankly. But Whoopi Goldberg said in response to Donald Trump Jr., quote, "You only worry about this for your child if you think your child has these tendencies." What? She goes on, "If you think your child is not someone who is assaulting people, it shouldn't be a concern for you." End quote. Oh, so that's what we're doing, Whoopi? So you are going to make the argument on national television that Donald Trump Jr.'s young sons must have a tendency to commit sexual assault for him to be concerned about this. Folks, we are getting to crazy town in our communication. That is a ridiculous statement to make. But he is named Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump Jr. didn't take too kindly to that. And he had a response to Ms. Goldberg that I'll play for you when we come back from the break.
What if I told you that you could clean your family's laundry and help reach the next generation at the same time? That opportunity is here through a company called Redeem Clean. Every time you use Redeem Clean products, you help support the ministry of the American Family Association. In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean laundry detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made in the USA. And they were developed exclusively for the support of the American Family Association. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and order Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
New Bern is a wonderful small town. We are one of many communities that was devastated, seriously injured by Hurricane Florence.
I had 5.5 feet of water in my house. It's been really sad.
8 Days of Hope needs volunteers in New Bern and Fayetteville, North Carolina.
I mean, I had no hope 3 days ago. I walked around in circles and I didn't know what to do and where to go, and then these volunteers came.
Come be the hands and feet of Jesus with 8 Days of Hope. Visit 8daysofhope.com.
With 8 Days of Hope coming in, it gives those families hope where mom and dad can get back to work and the kids can get back to school. And that's all we have right now is hope.
I've seen a lot of people posting things on Facebook saying, I wish I could do something. Call 8 Days of Hope and give people hope just the way they're giving us hope.
8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Senator Chuck Grassley, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, says there is nothing in the latest background investigation on Judge Brett Kavanaugh that they did not already know. If that's the case, let's see the report so we can once and for all put aside the scurrilous attacks on Judge Kavanaugh's good name. Americans need to see for themselves he is not a raging alcoholic or a drug dealer or a gang rapist. It's absurd what this confirmation hearing has become, a political witch hunt, a modern-day Salem witch trial, with the Democrats burning Judge Kavanaugh's character at the stake. A new Harvard-Harris poll finds 69% of voters believe the entire confirmation process has devolved into a national disgrace. Regardless, I doubt the Democrats are finished with their dirty work. Like President Trump said, there could be 100 FBI investigations, and it still would not be good enough for the Democrats. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment. And so if you'd like to join the program, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Anything we've discussed during the program is fair game for you to comment on or ask questions or whatever you want to do on that. I'd love to hear from you. I love getting to interact with the people who are listening to the program. Now, before we went to break, I said that Donald Trump Jr. had a response to Whoopi Goldberg as a result of her insinuating that if he's concerned about his boy's future, then they must have some tendencies for sexual assault. You know, they must have a little rapiness in them. She didn't say those words, but that's what she's insinuating. Well, Donald Trump Jr., I guess he's a chip off the old block in some regards. He dug deep in the crates. You may not know what crates are. That's what the DJs used to walk around when they went to go have DJ gigs. They had to go in the crates to pull out the vinyl, you know, the records that they would spin at the parties, right? Seemed like Donald Trump Jr. dug deep into the crates, and he said this on the Twitter machine. He used a tweeter to share this. Quote, Whoopi, instead of insinuating that my sons are potential future abusers, you might want to explain why you defended actual child rapist Roman Polanski. Huh. Pretty interesting. Now, if you're like me, I didn't know all the details. I've heard about it, you know, things people mention Roman Polanski, but I didn't know the details of the Roman Polanski situation. Or let me say it this way, his conviction for child sexual abuse. But before I explain to you some of the details of that instance, let me share with you the audio from what Donald Trump Jr. posted online following his tweet. If you would, please play clip number 3.
I know it wasn't rape.
Yeah, there is a statutory
rape. I
child molest, maybe? I'm not sure.
It was something else, but I don't believe it was rape. And when we get all the information, somebody will tell me in my ear. All I'm trying to get you to understand is when we're talking about what someone did and what they were charged with, we have to say what it actually was,
okay,
not
so
what we think it was.
What he said he did. He gave her Quaaludes. He gave her champagne. Mm-hmm. She was drugged. She was 13 years old.
They were
having sex
beforehand.
That's what I'm saying. You're 13 years old.
Child.
She was still a child.
Initially, he was charged with rape. Go ahead. And then he pled guilty to having sex with a minor. Okay? And he went to jail. And when they let him out.
45 days.
And when they let him out. He said, you know what? This guy's going to give me 100 years in jail. I'm not staying. And that's why he left. So that's why I wanted to be really clear, because I wanted to know exactly what we were talking about.
And I'm going, does that make it okay to you know, instead of staying and fighting, to say, you know, he's going to give me 100 years. I'm out of here.
I don't know if it's okay, but what we were talking about was what he did. And that's what I wanted to clear up. That's all I wanted to clear up, because I don't like it when we're passionate about something and we don't have all the facts.
Oh, so okay, Whoopi. Whoops. This is a great time to remind everyone that the internet is forever. Donald Trump Jr. dug deep into the crates to pull out this 2009 video where Whoopi Goldberg was on The View defending Roman Polanski. She said, oh, it wasn't rape. Huh? Excuse me? Hey, sorry, came again? Hey, what are you saying to me, man? Are you trying to tell me you say you know rape? But you're gonna free associate Donald Trump Jr.'s boys by saying they must have rapey tendencies, but here you are defending Roman Polanski. So if you're like me, I had to do a little research on this whole scenario with Roman Polanski, and guess what I found out? Your boy did the work for you. You had to do it yourself. You could listen to the program. It turns out Roman Polanski, who is a Polish filmmaker and director, offered alcohol and Quaaludes to a 13-year-old girl when he's in his mid-40s. Had sex with the girl that you heard Whoopi Goldberg say, oh, but it was consensual. Whoopi, come close, whoops. She was 13. There's not a state in the country that recognizes a 13-year-old with the legal ability to consent. A 13-year-old cannot consent, Whoopi. But she said, oh no, it wasn't rape. They were having sex all along. Whoopi, 13-year-olds cannot consent. And so this is why people have problems with this Me Too movement. Because it's really not a Me Too. It's only a Me Too if you agree with me in political ideology. Because on one hand, you want to tar and feather Brett Kavanaugh, but on the other, you want to make sure everybody have their facts right about Roman Polanski. Who did I remind you, and I forgot to get to this part of my explanation, Roman Polanski, who was then arrested for raping 13-year-old Samantha Geimer, who was then charged with 5 counts. You want to know what they were? Sure you do. I'll tell you. Rape by use of drugs. Count 1. Count 2, perversion. Count 3, sodomy. Count 4, lewd and lascivious acts upon a child under 14 years old. Count 3, delivering controlled substances to a minor. This is what Roman Polanski was charged and indicted for. So in the process of the investigation, because this happens, especially in sexual assault cases, to avoid a trial, Roman Polanski pled guilty to having sex with a 13-year-old. And the judge in Los Angeles sentenced Roman Polanski to have what we called in Texas, for example, a pre-sentencing investigation. He had to report to a California jail so he could be evaluated by jail mental health professionals. Upon the completion of that pre-sentence investigation, he was then due to report in court for his ultimate sentencing. Roman Polanski thought he was going to get some kind of probation. After the pre-sentencing investigation came out, he said, oh, they're going to send me to the clink. And Roman Polanski fled the country and is to this day a fugitive from the United States criminal justice system. But this is what Whoopi Goldberg is trying to defend. And in case you're saying, oh, wait a minute, she didn't know that, folks, that clip was from 2009. Roman Polanski fled the country in 1978. But you want to talk about Donald Trump Jr.'s boys? Yet you're going to defend this child sexual predator who he was convicted of it as a result of his own guilty plea. But you're going to defend Roman Polanski. And we're supposed to take you serious. We're supposed to take you seriously. Folks, I'm telling you, listen, it's high time that we as the American people, you stop thinking these folks who have television screens and have movie deals and all these things, these people don't know nothing. Some of them do, but not all of them. Don't ascribe merit and worth to them because they have a television screen or have acted in a few movies. That does not mean that they are wise, nor does it mean that they have a moral compass. This is a doggone shame. This is a shame. This is shameful. And I have some advice for all of you Hollywood elites. You want to really take down some sexual predators? Why don't you use your influence to get the United States government to put some pressure on France to extradite Roman Polanski so he can go to prison? How about that? How about that? Because he's still making movies. He's living in France. He moved out of the UK because the UK said, we're going to put you in jail, fam, and we're going to send you to America to serve this time. He said, oh, we got to get out of the UK too. We got to get out of here because they're going to send me to prison. Folks, Whoopi defends Roman Polanski. Y'all got the point. I don't need to keep saying the same thing. This is a shame. This is a shame. This is a shame. To the phone line. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We'll start with the calls to Michigan, where Ray is on the line. And before you start with your comments, Ray, I want to know what you think is going on with the Senate race there in Michigan, because John James, who we hope to have on the show in the near future, is running against incumbent Debbie Stabenow. Welcome to the program, Ray.
Thank you very much. I look forward to listening to your show each night. Regarding John James in Michigan, it's hard to tell. Okay. I'm on the west side of Michigan.
Okay.
We're not seeing very many signs or advertising for Mr. James.
Okay.
So it's hard to tell. People I work in the automotive field. Most of the people here who are union are actually leaning towards John James.
Okay.
But we're not seeing the advertisements. We're not seeing the yard signs. So I don't know.
Okay.
It's hard to tell.
All right. Well, I plan to have him on the program in the near future, so I'll talk to him about it. But I just wanted to hear your perspective right there on the ground. But go right ahead with your comments.
Okay. My comments are mixed with a little bit of sarcasm due to my nature. And that is this. If the Democrats should be thoroughly satisfied and happy with the in-depth report that they have received from the FBI regarding Mr. Kavanaugh. Because remember, this is the same FBI that has high standards, that gave the same thorough investigation to Hillary Clinton. The Democrats should have as much trust in this report as the FBI gave to Hillary Clinton.
Ray, thank you for your call and your comments. Ray, I sense that sarcasm there, Ray. I'm picking up on it. Back to the phone lines we go. We'll go next to Lucas, who's on the line. Lucas, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Hello, Mr. Attorney General. This is Louisiana calling.
Hey, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I got a couple of things. If you don't mind, dig into Mr. Ben Shapiro's report that Rosie O'Donnell has offered $2 million to two Republicans, senators to vote no on Judge Kaye. If you don't mind, dig into that and find out if that's even real. I think there's probably laws against bribery.
Oh, there are laws. I'll tell you, yeah. Lucas, I saw something like that, but I hadn't been able to tease out some of the facts just yet.
Yeah. But that is on my radar. I'm sorry.
Ben Shapiro put it out there, but just try to run it down and see.
Okay.
Number two, this will be the last high office position in U.S. history that will have a he said, she said kind of scenario. From now on, everything will be coming off of the internet and the selfies at all these parties and stuff that are going on out there. All of it's going to be documented and stuff and be easily retrievable. And in my opinion, the way things tend to go and has been here recently, I think Google and I think Facebook and I think Twitter will probably scrub the liberal side so that information is not available. But for the conservatives, that readily will be available and find its way leaked all over the place.
All right, Lucas. Well, thank you very much for your call and your comments. I'm going to try to squeeze a couple more in here. We'll go next to Oklahoma, where Lori is on the line. Lori, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to comment. First of all, I am just absolutely floored at Whoopi Goldberg's behavior and her comment. I mean, I'm not a fan. Used to be years and years ago. But I find that people who watch The View, and you can quote me, don't have a clue. And that is the case with anyone who would like to sit down and soak in the gospel according to the clue, the view, who don't have a clue. Anyway, what I wanted to say with regards to the Kavanaugh investigation, and please don't take this the wrong way. I don't need anyone to feel sorry for me. I'm healed. I am a survivor of sexual abuse, and it started at 5 years old. And the way that woman got up on that floor and gave her report, I've never seen anything so phony and so ridiculous and so rehearsed and so based on lies in my life that you don't forget those things. Mm. They're ingrained in your memory. You don't make up stuff. You know the truth. And when she spoke and repeatedly spoke and repeatedly spoke, it was so evident that she was lying. Mm. And it breaks my heart that we have become weak-minded as a society. We don't see it. We're not asking for real solid hard evidence. And that we have completely destroyed a man's career. We've attempted to destroy his wife, his children, and his hope for a future. But we've all got to believe and stand on that God is still in control. And remember, don't watch The View. That is a vile show. People in Washington, people in D.C. and Hollywood, they worship at the altar of themselves, not the altar of the Almighty God.
Lord, thank you very much for your call and your comments. And praise God that you have been healed from what you've suffered. And I don't know if you've heard before, but there have been several other callers who've called into the program and expressed similar sentiments, having been victims of sexual assault themselves and their own experiences providing for them a backdrop that many others may not have. That says they really can't take Professor Ford's testimony too seriously. Back to the phone lines we go, next to Arkansas, where Doug is on the line. Doug, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. You're going to be the last call for today. You got 30 seconds, my friend. Go right ahead.
Hey, Dave. Abraham. Thank you for taking my call. I was just going off your admonition. I was to cultivate the family at home. I was reading the Psalms and Proverbs with my son, and we read Psalm 5 and Proverbs chapter 2 because it was the second one we read it. But anyway, if you read those two, Psalms, the fifth Psalm and chapter 2 in Proverbs, you'll find that there's no quicker way to get sideways with God than to lie and to devise evil schemes against another person. No dissension amongst the brethren.
Wise words, Doug. Very, very wise words. If you couldn't hear Doug clearly, he was saying, based on his review of Psalm chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 2 with his family at home, there's no quicker way to get crossways with God than to lie and devise wicked schemes against the brethren.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.